4. Findings. The opening text of Article 25, Health of the UNCRPD states that the New Zealand government must recognise that persons with disabilities have the right to the enjoyment of the highest attainable standard of health without discrimination on the basis of disability. State parties, the New Zealand government, shall take all appropriate measures to ensure access for persons with disabilities to health services that are gender sensitive, including health-related rehabilitation. 4.1, Article 25.A. I got the referral and it said, disabled woman shouldn't have a baby but has had one and needs help. Quote from interview number 45. Article 25A pertains to the provision of health care for disabled people. More specifically, the New Zealand government must provide persons with disabilities with the same range, quality, and standard of free or affordable health care and programs as provided to other persons, including in the area of sexual and reproductive health and population-based public health programs. United Nations 2006. Interviewees reported a range of issues relating to Article 25A. The findings were arranged into 5 categories: funding, sexual and reproductive health, population-based public health programs, access, and formal complaints procedures. Funding. Funding was one of the most common issues preventing interviewees from accessing adequate healthcare and well-being services. Specifically, the two-tiered support systems of MOH and ACC were perceived as generating two different health classes within the disability community. Inadequate funding under the MOH system was reported as negatively impacting the type, timeliness, quality, and length of treatment and services provided to interviewees. A lack of funding for disability-specific services, for example, for fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. A lack of consistency, coordination, and communication was experienced by interviewees who received funding from either the MOH and ACC. Primary health care, allied health care, and mental health services were unaffordable for many interviewees. Prescriptions, as well as transport and the cost of parking at health services, were also reported as unaffordable. Some interviewees were financially disadvantaged by the length of appointments they required. For example, being charged for double appointments because they had a greater number of complex issues to discuss with health professionals, or because they communicated using an alternative form of communication. Sexual and reproductive health. Despite Article 25A explicitly articulating disabled people's right to sexual and reproductive health, the following issues were highlighted by interviewees: inaccessibility of fertility services, a lack of knowledge around intersex bodies and reproductive health, a lack of knowledge around gender-affirming healthcare and disability, negative assumptions regarding disabled people's competency as parents, population-based public health programs. Population-based public health programs refer to preventative and holistic health programs that aim to improve the health status of a population as a whole. Shahzad et al. 2019. Findings revealed that in some circumstances, population-based public health programs did not consider the rights, needs, will, and preferences of disabled people. For instance, the government's public health response to COVID-19, which disrupted disabled people's individualized funding arrangements, restricted or delayed disabled people's access to personal protective equipment, PPE, delivered public health information in inaccessible formats, led to disproportionate physical and social isolation for disabled people. Access. Findings revealed a broad range of issues regarding disabled people's access to health and disability support systems. Access was referred to in a variety of contexts, including financial access, as discussed earlier in this short report, physical access, mental access, communication access, and sensory access. Physical access. A number of interviewees reported inaccessible health and disability services. Mental access. Past negative interactions with the health and disability support system had resulted in mental access barriers. Communication access. Barriers to communication were experienced by blind, low vision, and neurodiverse interviewees, as well as deaf interviewees who experienced challenges with NZSL interpreter shortages and booking systems. Sensory access. Some interviewees experienced auditory and sensory overload within public health settings such as hospitals. Formal complaints procedures. Many interviewees believed that formal complaints procedures within the health and disability system are ineffective. Reported barriers included unsatisfactory resolutions and a lack of accountability by people in positions of power, falling through the cracks of different complaints procedures, fear of adverse consequences when making complaints, such as being blacklisted, lengthy, tiresome, and complex procedures which discouraged interviewees from making formal complaints. As a result, some interviewees indicated that they had preferred to change healthcare providers rather than make a formal complaint. In summary, despite Article 25A's clear requirements regarding non-discriminatory access to healthcare, many interviewees indicated that they were unable to access high-quality and affordable healthcare and disability support services. 4.2, Article 25.B. The past 2 years, I have experienced hair loss from the trauma of my hospitalization, and I have struggled with things emotionally. However, my GP has only suggested antidepressants. I've been turned away from counselling services because nobody wants to deal with someone who is so complicated. Interviewee number 21. Article 25B of the UNCRPD states that the New Zealand government must provide health services needed by persons with disabilities, specifically because of their disabilities, including early identification and intervention as appropriate, and services designed to minimize and prevent further disabilities. United Nations, 2006. Monitoring findings that directly related to this sub-article included choice and control. Interviewees said that they had limited choice and control over which services, treatment, and medication they could access and when. Service coordination. Poor service coordination between different health providers and departments was reported as a barrier to interviewee health. Disability services and coexisting disabilities. Interviewees reported that services often failed to consider the interlinking nature of their coexisting disabilities. Diagnosis. Interviewees experienced challenges with the financial cost of diagnosis, diagnostic overshadowing, which often led to inappropriate service and treatment provisions, misdiagnosis and correcting misdiagnosis. Prolonged wait times, significant delays when accessing diagnosis and treatment. Another important aspect of disabled people's health and well-being is the Disability Support System, DSS. The DSS provides support for disabled people so that they may have an adequate standard of living, Ministry of Health, 2016. However, interviewees shared that under the DSS they experienced a number of challenges, including unpaid and paid supports. Interviewees reported an over-reliance on natural supports, which had a negative impact on both themselves and their families and close supporters. People with multiple and complex disabilities and their family, whānau and close supporters, challenges included a lack of funding and resources to ensure access to qualified support workers and or respite services, a lack of holistic and specialised care options, especially for people with multiple and complex disabilities and under-recognised disabilities such as FASD, needs assessment and service coordination services, NASCS. Interviewees reported inadequate needs assessment and service coordination services, NASCS, assessment processes, resulting in restricted support and resources. In summary, interviewees recalled many challenges regarding access to disability-specific health and wellbeing services. These complex layers of disability-specific provisions prevented interviewees from maintaining the highest attainable health. 4.3, Article 25C. There's nobody here in regional location name removed that I can talk to because there are no counsellors trained in the trauma that I've been through. Quote from interview number 5. Article 25C mandates that the New Zealand government provide health services as close as possible to persons' own communities, including in rural areas. United Nations 2006. Interviewees, however, noted that availability, provision, and or quality of healthcare was dependent on geographical location, in brackets, postcode healthcare. For example, the availability of services, supports, and funding varies across different DHBs. Interviewees living rurally experienced financial, physical, and mental barriers when accessing essential and allied healthcare services. There was a lack of specialist and disability support in some regions. Long wait lists and commuting to larger cities were common barriers to access healthcare. Some interviewees felt pushed into paying for private healthcare because public healthcare could not be easily accessed. There was a significant lack of NZSL interpreting services in some regions. In summary, interviewees living in regional and rural areas reported a lack of access to adequate health and disability support services within their communities and face further barriers when accessing services in larger cities. 4.4, Article 25D. Often when you do go to a new doctor, they don't understand, so you don't feel like you can trust them because they seem scared or not understanding. So you think, how are they going to fix me when they don't understand what I'm saying or what's wrong with me? Quote from interview number 94. Article 25D articulates the responsibility of health professionals to provide disabled people with the same quality of care as non-disabled people on the basis of free and informed consent by, inter alia, raising awareness of human rights, dignity and autonomy. United Nations 2006. In order to achieve this, the New Zealand government is obligated to ensure that health providers are appropriately trained in disability rights while promoting ethical standards within healthcare services. Key findings related to this sub-article included attitudes. Interviewees reported experiencing negative attitudes and treatment by health practitioners, such as assumptions that disabled people lack competency when making informed decisions and providing informed consent, failure to take disabled people and their health issues seriously, an assumption that disability is a negative experience, failure to thoroughly investigate medical issues, leading to misdiagnosis and diagnostic overshadowing, racial discrimination and denial of other identities, such as sexual and gender identities, on the basis of disability. Training. Negative practitioner attitudes were often attributed to a lack of disability training, including on disability, disability rights, disability culture, models of disability, and ableism. Neurodiversity, particularly within the mental health sector, disabled people's capacity and self-determination, alternative communication styles, biases that lead to diagnostic overshadowing, holistic approaches to health and well-being, training on specific conditions such as chronic health conditions. It was also noted that negative attitudes were compounded for interviewees with intersectional identities, for example, whānau hauā, whai kaha Māori, and trans interviewees. Awareness of rights and responsibilities. Further to Article 25, Article 8, Awareness Raising of the UNCRPD, also highlights the New Zealand government's responsibility to promote the convention to both the public and the disability community, United Nations 2006. When asked whether they knew about the UNCRPD, 64 interviewees answered yes, 25 said no, 2 interviewees were unsure, and 9 interviewees were not asked or did not respond. Most notably, of the 25 interviewees who said they did not know about the convention, 15 identified as deaf. These findings highlight the need for greater awareness-raising efforts to be made amongst both health professionals as well as the disability community, especially amongst specific cohorts such as deaf people. Self-advocacy. Interviewees felt a strong need to advocate for themselves in order to access the care they needed. Self-advocacy was related to a perceived power imbalance between health practitioners and disabled people. Self-advocacy often came at the cost of interviewees' fatigue. Confidentiality and informed consent. Some interviewees indicated that informed consent procedures were inadequate, particularly in relation to the delivery of accessible information. Interviewees provided examples of circumstances where health practitioners held deficit attitudes or assumptions about the capacity of disabled people to make valid medical decisions. Dignity. Many interviewees felt their dignity had not been respected or upheld by the health and disability system. For example, some interviewees felt their disability had been the reason why they had not been treated with respect. Other interviewees reported that the health and disability system did not respect their right to make informed choices about the care and support they receive. Many interviewees reported feeling like they were not being listened to within health settings. Some deaf interviewees felt that health and disability systems were ill-equipped to accommodate their needs, such as accessible communication, choice, and control. In summary, interviewee experiences highlighted the need for robust tertiary level training and ongoing professional development on human and disability rights based practice. 4.5, Article 25E. Because of my disability, I can't get good health insurance. Quote from interview number 21. Article 25E of the UNCRPD requires the New Zealand government to prohibit discrimination against persons with disabilities in the provision of health insurance and life insurance where such insurance is permitted by national law, which shall be provided in a fair and reasonable manner. United Nations 2006. The findings related to this article were arranged into two categories, private health and life insurance and ACC. Private health and life insurance. Only a handful of interviewees had private health or life insurance. The main barriers to obtaining private insurance related to either non-eligibility due to pre-existing conditions or disproportionately high premiums to cover pre-existing conditions. ACC. ACC-funded interviewees reported that ACC assessments lean towards minimizing and denying support and/or funding. ACC support ignores the evolving experience of disability over time and has a narrow focus on rehabilitation in order to regain pre-injury employment status. ACC calculations and assessment tools focus on budget and cost control. There are inconsistencies in the support and services given to different ACC clients. Some interviewees shared that they were grateful that their disability was caused by injury and not as a result of congenital medical conditions. Despite the provisions of Article 25E, many interviewees reported being denied access to private health and life insurance due to pre-existing conditions. Although ACC cover was considered life-changing by some interviewees, others shared that there is still considerable room for improvement. 4.6, Article 25F. I can't get my mammogram appointment because I'm in a wheelchair. Quote from interview number 5. Article 25F of the UNCRPD stipulates that the New Zealand government must prevent discriminatory denial of health care or health services or food and fluids on the basis of disability. United Nations 2006. While the monitoring research found no evidence of the denial of food or fluid on the basis of disability, there was evidence of the denial of healthcare and services on the basis of disability. This included interviewee reports of treatment, services, and medication, being denied access to diagnosis and treatment, particularly for interviewees living with coexisting and complex conditions, fear of the denial of healthcare due to practitioner prejudice towards people with multiple and complex disabilities, fear of the denial of healthcare based on prejudices relating to disability and the End of Life Choice Act, choice and control, being denied choice and control over the type and timing of medication and treatment, such as medicinal cannabis. Denial of choice and control under the Mental Health Compulsory Assessment and Treatment Act 1992, Mental Health Act. COVID-19. Being denied health and disability services due to disruptions caused by the COVID-19 pandemic and subsequent lockdowns. Healthcare in prisons. Being denied access to healthcare while in prison. In summary, Even though the denial of food and fluids on the basis of disability were not evident in the interviews, interviewees repeatedly highlighted experiences where they were either directly or indirectly denied healthcare and services on the basis of their disability.